All right, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thanks for that lovely response. My name is Brianka Merritt, as our moderator said, and I'm here presenting research on physical activity and outcomes related to physical activity by race or ethnicity. This is something that I'm very passionate about, taking kind of a macro level approach to a very individual level health outcome. So I'm here again on behalf of the University of Oklahoma and the Indiana University Public Policy Institute. And I do not have any financial disclosures to discuss, so we'll get into the presentation. So if you're here, it's probably because you care very much about physical activity, so I don't have to make the sell to you that it is an extremely important health behavior with regards to preventing chronic disease and other negative health outcomes. When it comes to adult leisure time physical activity, it's something, of course, it's defined as something that's active movement of the body outside of one's occupational activities. The CDC recommends that adults obtain 150 minutes of moderate physical activity, so walking, things that produce very light breathing, or 75 minutes of vigorous physical activity a week, which is more vigorous, swimming, running. The good news is that for the U.S., among adults, the proportion of them reporting that they have met physical activity recommendations has increased over time. So what you see over here is the percentage of adults who report meeting those recommendations. You can see that, again, generally over time we see improvements regardless of racial or ethnic background. But what you also see is that there's about a 10 to 11 percentage point difference that persists over time. So even though, again, we're seeing overall gains, when it comes to disparities in physical activity, that's something that has remained pretty consistent regardless of the overall progress. And so the question is, what are some factors that might be related to that? One of them is, of course, the physical activity environment. In physical activity research, we've certainly moved past just focusing on, making sure people are physically active in their free time and moving to more of a broader approach, communities, states, neighborhoods, and making sure that people have the opportunity to be physically active on a broader scale, right? So thinking of these issues involve things like parks and recreational facilities. Do people have access to them, and are they of high quality? Public safety, are communities safe, are they free from crime? And walkability, do people have the ability to easily navigate through their communities? So generally what we find is that when there are neighborhoods and communities that have these things in place, people who live there are more likely to be physically active in the aggregate. But what happens when we look at minority groups and majority-minority communities in particular? What we find is that there's inconsistent access. So people who are Black or Hispanic tend to live in neighborhoods that lack quality parks and recreational facilities, that aren't always free from crime, and they're more often more likely to report sidewalks that are in poor condition or trails that are poorly lit. And so that also is associated with some inconsistent results. The literature tells us that even when there are parks and recreational facilities in a neighborhood, for example, Black and Hispanic adults may be less likely to be physically active. So the results are both positive, negative, and sometimes null. So there's not really a consistent pattern in terms of why these environmental changes are associated with physical activity or not. So again, what are some issues that might affect that environment? And so obviously we're here to talk about health and all policies. What you see on the left is a theoretical model by Schmid et al. And I've highlighted what I'm going to discuss with you today. We're pretty clear that there are factors that influence legislative decisions to pass policies related to physical activity. And we also know what I just spoke with you about, that things in the physical activity environment like parks and recreational facilities, safety, walkability, those things are generally associated with improvements in physical activity. But if we're going to talk about policies and health and all policies, it's important for us to take a step back and see what that indirect relationship looks like. What does legislation itself do in terms of improving physical activity outcomes for adults, and specifically in terms of addressing issues related to disparities in physical activity? Whether Black, white, and Hispanic adults can obtain the same benefits from legislation related to physical activity. So I had two objectives for this study. The first is whether physical activity policies are associated with a greater odds of meeting physical activity recommendations. And then secondly, to see whether that association varied by racial or ethnic group. So I'll get into my data and methods. I use two data sources here because there's no existing data set that has legislation and individual level physical activity outcomes. So for my outcome data, I looked at the National Health Interview Survey, or the NHIS. Many of you may be familiar with this data set. It's used to really provide general trends in terms of U.S. Health outcomes, including physical activity. For the publicly available data, the lowest level of aggregation was at the census region level, so looking at states in terms of where they were in the West, the South, the Midwest, and the Northeast. I looked at the years 2006 to 2013 because that's the most recent sampling frame for this data set. It also corresponds a little nicely with the number of physical activity policies that were passed at the national level. If you think back a few years, there's been a much greater push in terms of promoting physical activity policies than there has been in the years prior to. The second data source I used was the Chronic Disease State Policy Tracking System. So this is a CDC database that provides policy information or legislative information on different issues and particularly physical activity for this research. And it's a database that hasn't been used very frequently in research, but in the past several years it has gained more traction in the literature. So my dependent variable was the proportion of adults who reported meeting physical activity recommendations. And so on the left side, you see the question that was proposed. Again, this is an interview survey, so asking people how long they did activities and varying whether it was heavy sweating or light sweating, depending on whether it was moderate or vigorous physical activity. So that resulted in a value of minutes of physical activity per week. The NHIS also gives instructions on how to make that variable a little more palatable and easy to analyze. So I summed all those values and divided it into a binary variable where 1 indicated whether an individual met or exceeded physical activity recommendations, and a 0 if they were inactive or insufficiently active based, again, on the CDC recommendations. My explanatory variable was physical activity policies, and I broke this down based on those 3 policy general physical activity environment domains that I mentioned earlier. So parks and recreational facilities, an example of a policy from that database was the construction of parks and swimming pools. For a safety policy example, appropriating funds for safer use for pedestrians and bicycle riders. And an example of a walkability policy from that data set was requiring lighting around trails so that people can walk more safely. I mentioned that database is kind of a drop-down menu of sorts, so I have to code that into an Excel spreadsheet. So I summed each of these policies in terms of whether a 1 if it was a policy that was associated with safety, walkability, or parks or recreational facilities, and a 0 if it wasn't. Everything that had a 1 value, I added up, and so I had to aggregate it to the state level first for each year. So example, 2 public safety policies in Oklahoma in 2008, and then aggregating it up again to the regional level, because again, the NHIS data are aggregated at the regional level as well, so making sure that those match properly. I lagged the policy variable by 1 year because conceivably you can imagine that when you pass a policy, it takes a little bit of time for it to work through the environment at the state level and ultimately have some sort of impact on anyone's individual outcomes. So since the outcome was binary, I was looking at the association between policies with the likelihood of adults meeting physical activity recommendations. You can see my exclusions that I've listed up there, as well as the various things that I adjusted for, both at the individual level that we know to be very strongly associated with physical activity outcomes, as well as a few things at the state level. I did detect a significant interaction between race and policy and region and policy, so all the results that I'll walk you through in a little bit will be disaggregated by both, or stratified by both race and region. So with my results, I'm going to start off by giving a little information about some of the descriptive variables that I mentioned earlier as well. So we'll start with the proportion of adults who said they met physical activity recommendations. So in this sample, you can see that white adults had a significantly higher proportion of people meeting those recommendations compared to black or Hispanic adults. Also interesting, adults who lived in the western U.S. were also significantly more likely to report being physically active, and that was something that held regardless of race or ethnicity. So all racial ethnic groups in the West had significant differences compared to the other regions. This graphic shows you the policies that I looked at for this study, again, public safety, walkability, and parks and recreational facilities. You can see that among people, or among states in the South, they had a significantly higher number of physical activity policies enacted during this time frame compared to the other 3 regions. And you can see that for all the regions, again, 2009 and 2011 was a pretty exciting time for physical activity policy because that's when most of them were enacted across the U.S. So these slides, I'm going to walk you through each of them. You can see that on the left side, I've shown you the region in which the people in the sample lived. And across the top, their racial or ethnic group. The bolded values show you the values that were significant in the study. So what you can see is that for Black adults in the South and Hispanic adults in the Midwest, policies related to parks and recreational facilities were associated with a greater likelihood of meeting physical activity recommendations. Whereas Hispanic adults in the West, those policies were associated with a lower likelihood of meeting those recommendations. For public safety policies, you can see there's a little bit more of a mixture. For white adults in the Northeast and Hispanic adults in the West, public safety policies were associated with a lower likelihood of meeting physical activity recommendations, but for Black adults in the South, those policies were associated with a greater likelihood of doing so. And lastly, for walkability policies, this is similar to parks and recreational, the outcomes that were found there. Hispanic adults in the Midwest and Black adults in the South, those walkability policies were associated with a greater likelihood of meeting physical activity recommendations. On the opposite end, Hispanic adults in the West had a lower likelihood of doing so. So that was a pretty dense group of slides that we can talk about a little later if you have questions, but here's a summary of those results as well. You can see that the green arrows indicate generally positive significant relationships and the red arrows do not. So there are very clear differences here by race, ethnicity, as well as by the type of policy that was enacted. You can see that for Black adults, generally there was, at least in the South, these policies were associated with a greater likelihood of meeting recommendations. Hispanic adults had mixed results, and public safety policies had mixed results. And whereas, recall also those tables that I showed you, a lot of people, there was no significant relationship at all, so it's important to consider those differences as well. So there are a few strengths and limitations to this study. I think this is a novel examination of public safety policy as well as all the other policies I looked at and physical activity outcomes in adults. Again, if we're going to talk about the role of policy in making health change, it's important to look at what those legislative documents look like, what those policies look like, and how they might affect various health outcomes. By lagging that policy variable, I think that does account for the fact that we're accounting for some of the time that it takes to make changes in the policy environment, in the physical activity environment in particular. For limitations, there were some overlaps in policy domains. So if you're thinking of things like walkability, parks and recreational facilities, there's going to be some similarity. And certainly in the CDC policy database, that was clear. And if you think about that in terms of a legislative environment, it's a lot easier to have some sort of legislation passed when you incorporate multiple factors related to physical activity at once versus just one. So I think that's pretty reflective of any legislative environment. I also, again, have to aggregate those policies to the regional level. So these are state level policies aggregated to the regional level. And so my effect sizes were a little smaller than one would think. But I think at the regional level, if we're seeing effects and we're seeing significant effects, while adjusting for all the things that we know to be very correlated with physical activity, such as education, sex, BMI, and there's still an impact there, that implies that there's something going on there in the policy environment, in the physical activity environment as well. So in terms of public health significance, if you're taking notes, I will say this very clearly for you. So the first one, unintended consequences. When we talk about policy being effective, in this case, you can see that it did have some positive effects. For indirectly addressing physical activity, it also had negative effects. It also had null effects. So when we talk about really focusing on policy as a means to improve physical activity outcomes among other health issues, thinking about that policy may not always do what we want it to do all the time. It would have been great to see green arrows across the board for everyone, but that wasn't necessarily the case, at least here. The second issue is collaboration, really working with public health practice to understand how those policies are implemented and working with legislators as well, because you can think, certainly we can pass a policy, but if we don't know where those policies are being implemented, where those trails are being fixed, where crime is being reduced, then it's not always clear necessarily what that policy is actually doing and how those funds are being appropriated to do so. And lastly, when I talk about working better with public health practice, they're the people who understand the need for greater context. So not just simply implementing some sort of policy, but understanding the cultural issues that come into play, the regional issues that come into play when we're talking about physical activity outcomes. So I will thank my advisor for being here, Roy Oman, as well as the University of Oklahoma for their support in this research. And I guess we'll take questions now. All right, thank you.
Standing ovations, yes, for the next one. It's a little late for yours. We do physical activity standing ovations, so you can break your sedentary time. So every time you clap, you're free to stand. But we have time for questions, but you are free to stand when you ask your question. Yes.
I have a You mentioned that there was the slide with all the policies, and there was a huge surge of policies in 2009 to 2011. Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea why that is?
For 2009 through 2011?
Yeah, like was there anything that happened that, you know, why all these policies started happening?
Sure. If you think back to that time period, that was certainly the beginning of the Obama administration. I think that correlates nicely with kind of Michelle Obama's push toward healthy living and certainly doing more in schools. You could think that might also certainly have an effect in how adults reacted in states kind of taking this broader approach to, you know, if we're going to deal with childhood obesity and adult obesity, let's deal with it in a legislative way. So I think that's why that lines up so well.
Yeah, I think the whole thing in engaging and quantifying this is being able to score those individual policies to see, because they're obviously not all created the same. They're in areas where, you know, sometimes there's a very dense population, other times it's more spread out, there is less access. So you really are kind of trying to aggregate them enough to where you get, you know, some payoff. And also, I think I noticed that lag effect in some cases. I think it may be more than a year, particularly if it's a major investment. I think if you have a small one, you may, and it's something that's, there's a lot of local push for, there may be a quicker payoff.
Sure.
So, and you know, I also look at minutes of physical activity. There are people who are at zero, but there are people who are not meeting the 150, but you just had an either or variable in there. So obviously somebody who's gone from 50 minutes a week to 100 minutes a week is moving in the right direction. But
absolutely. So to address your last point, at least, I looked at physical activity also not just as a binary variable that way, but just looking at what about people who are totally inactive versus people who at least did something, and the results are pretty similar. So there actually wasn't that large of an effect. And I think you make also a good point in terms of looking at levels of aggregation too, because certainly at the local level, that's obviously where we're going to see a lot of our direct impact. But certainly at the state level, if there's not kind of an impetus there sometimes, it's even harder for local level authorities and counties and neighborhoods to maybe feel a little more inspired to do so. So thank you. Sure, that's a great question. I think there are a few things we can consider for that. One is, again, what those public safety policies actually look like. So sometimes it depends on where you're implementing a policy. So if you're implementing a policy at a particular neighborhood or a particular community, that may not necessarily have a positive effect there, because maybe you're working so hard or the funds are allocated to another organization or area of a community that there's just not as much focus there. But there is some research that shows that public safety related issues, because I was really curious about this too, for adults, white adults in the Northeast, I was looking at a study in like New York, a few studies there, and there were some strange associations between, at least qualitatively, between public safety related issues and outcomes for white adults. So I'm not completely sure why that's the case, but I would assume that it's kind of a resource allocation issue. But again, the fact that we're seeing it as a regional trend is kind of strange. So it would require, I think, a little more digging in terms of those contextual factors. So thank you. Yeah.
Have you considered extending your research to look at physical activity data collected through NHANES, where you've got objective measures using physical activity monitors?
Absolutely. I think that's certainly a next step. Those data, as well as the NHIS data at the state level, cost money, which I did not have at the time of this research, but that was always the plan. And so I think the NHANES is certainly a little more objective. The physical activity outcomes are a little more validated and liked in the research as well. So that's definitely a next opportunity.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.